Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Devin McCourty will join us this hour. We'll talk to Michael Irvin at the bottom of the hour. We'll get some calls in between now and then at 617-779-7937. We've got a big football game Sunday night to talk about. We've got two gigantic baseball games to talk about. Saturday and Sunday nights.
What a time.
Bruins are 3-1. Celtics kick things off on Tuesday. It's like the best time of
the
year
ever. Far and away the best time.
I love this time.
Yes, there's something for everybody.
All right, let's get to the calls. Back to the calls with you guys on False Count Anywhere Friday. So bring to the table whatever you'd like. Fred's in New Hampshire. Hey, Fred.
Eddie, Keith. The boy, older you get, Dale, you sound like Eddie. Man, beginning, you never talked about hockey, about the Bruins last night. What, I mean, Jersey Giants? Come on. Can you tell me, Dale, what is a frozen white snake? Jack last night said this player tripped over a frozen white snake. Do you know what that is?
I would say that it was a non-existent thing.
Is it radio friendly? Was it
no, I think he, okay. He meant that he tripped over nothing.
All right.
Jack is great. I love him, but the stuff he comes out with sometimes. Anyways, Krejci line last night. It was nice to see him come back the way they did. A sweet pass and an even sweeter goal. And I want to talk about Monday. Monday, the Bruins go down two men. And I don't think people appreciate Chara as much as they should. It's like a 5-on-3, but it's a 5-on-3.5. That guy, he was out there for almost this whole 2 minutes, and they shut him down, and it was because of Chara.
And it's not just Monday night, Fred. And you're right about that. Look at what Chara did last night against Connor McDavid. He gave up the one goal.
I was gonna say, after the first minute.
He got spun around there at center ice on a pass that kind of slipped between two guys. From that point on, Connor McDavid did nothing, and it was almost exclusively Chara on the ice against him.
I think the bigger story coming out of last night is the Halak Ness monster getting another win. You know, are we going to see – it's four games, and it's been two starts for each goalie. Like, how long is it going to be 50-50 split?
I don't think it's going to stay that way, and I do think Bruce Cassidy and his staff look at things like Halak's had great career numbers against the Edmonton Oilers. Going into last night, he was 8-2-3, and his goals against average was less than 2. So I think they said, well, hell, he's always played great against this team.
Let's give him another go.
Yeah. Saturday, when Detroit comes to town, you'll have Tuukka Rask back in. But they've upgraded the backup goaltender position.
They have.
And Hudobin was good last year.
He was.
This guy's better.
And this guy, it feels more real in the sense, whereas Hudobin, when he played well last year, you're like, okay, how long is this going to last? Like, this is going to kind of come back.
Barry would always be yelling beside me, get back in the net!
Yeah, he likes to explore the space a little bit, and that was fine. Yeah, but Halak gives him a real true backup goaltender who's really
the same
starting
number of
goaltender.
Career starts as Tuukka Rask has.
Yeah.
And he's only 2 years older than Rask.
No,
so.
it's a pretty good situation.
617-779-7937. Keith is in New Hampshire. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. First of all, my favorite walk-in for wrestlers was, going back a ways, was the Junkyard Dog. You remember his?
Oh, of course. Yeah. We'll add it to the list.
It'll be on our to-do list before the day is out.
anyways, the real reason why I'm calling is nobody wants to talk about it. It's not a popular topic of conversation, but the future for the Red Sox, it kind of looks grim, and I'll explain why. We got to sign a lot of guys, and we're going to be – we have to make decisions on, like, Chris Sale. Like, he's good right now, but every year for the past few years he's crumbled at the end of the year. I mean, I'm a little bit nervous. So you want to back up the Brinks truck to Mookie Betts? It's not my money, of course.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but does he want to stay here? I mean, I'm with you, Keith. Like, that's sort of there's you know, part of me saying, hey, just enjoy this season and what's going on right now. 108 wins and they're in the ALCS. And the other part is it's a little confusing because you see so many young guys, you're like, oh, well, they're built to last forever. But the reality is Chris Sale is a free agent after next year. Craig Kimbrell's a free agent after this season. Mookie Betts, he still has a couple more years, but then somebody's going to give him half a billion dollars.
Of cash.
Yeah, so all those guys, it still remains to be seen what they do. J.D. Martinez can opt out after next year if they don't give him a lot
more
money.
Don't you think winning helps part of that as well?
It should.
I mean, if you were able to pull this off, you know, beat Houston, beat the Dodgers, Milwaukee, whoever it is you would play in the World Series, isn't there a stronger feeling of, hey, let's keep this going here?
I would hope so, yeah. But then, I mean, it's going to come down to money still.
I got to say this about, and I know there are times when John Henry and Tom Werner and the Red Sox ownership group catch some grief from folks around here. What you cannot argue with is they spend money.
They're the highest payroll in the league.
They
so
spend
that's not a complaint.
You know, you cannot say, oh, they're cheapening out. I mean, no, they spend a lot. Now, there are times you can argue about who they spend it on. I got no issues with that. If they spent $400 million on a long-term contract for Mookie Betts, I'm not arguing with it.
And I don't think I'd be surprised if they offered him that. Now, the question is, does another team offer that, or does another team offer more? And Betts says, hey, great, you know, that's really nice. I liked my time here, but I'm going to go there. And, you know, that remains to be seen. Or how does it work with J.D. Martinez? What is he looking to do? Would they be willing to do a deal? Like he even mentioned it a little bit this
year.
This offseason, maybe you rip up the options.
And
just
I would. If I was
money.
Dombrowski, I would do that this offseason.
I would, too. I think he is, you know, we talk about what his numbers are at Fenway Park, but also the fact that even though, you know, he's not in his mid-20s, he can DH. You know, he can stick him in the outfield every once in a while, but he can be the DH for the next several years, and it's still worth the money, right? Like, you can still stick him out there, and what he adds to the lineup is so valuable because you saw what the lineup looks like when you don't have a David Ortiz or a J.D. Martinez. That you don't want to go back to that. Like, that was a season where you couldn't hit home runs, and it was a real struggle. So Martinez adds so much that, yeah, you got to take care of Martinez, Betts. Sale's going to be a really interesting one because he's under contract, really cheap next year. What is he doing in August and September next season? If he's on the DL again or if he's dealing with shoulder issues again, they're going to have a real tough decision when it comes to re-signing him after next season.
When I look at that, and for instance, Martinez, a guy who seemed tailor-made for this ballpark.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
A guy who basically ignores the left field wall. Hits as many home runs to right field as he does to left field as a right-handed hitter.
Good spray chart.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. The spray chart of his 43 home runs like this year, it's equal. Like evenly spread out from foul pole to foul pole.
Wherever he wants.
He is exactly what you want. Look, maybe he's not David Ortiz. But he's damn close.
He's pretty close. And that's why like I never, ever thought I would see a Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz-like duo again production-wise. Now, personality-wise, you won't see another one of those with the
and
way those two
that's probably a good thing.
Maybe. But as far as production-wise, I thought, no, you're not going to see that again. You might see some good players, but it's not going to be the same, you know, home runs, RBI, impact on the lineup. But that's what you got. Already a few years later, Mookie Betts. Now, they don't hit 3-4 like those guys did, but 1-3 or 1-4, those guys are putting up the same kind of numbers. In fact, and in some places, even better.
OPS Plus, Mookie Betts is 186. J.D. Martinez is 173.
Yeah, I mean, it's Betts should run away with the MVP this year. Now, Mike Trout's going to get a lot of votes. He always
Keith
does.
Keith Law probably will give him
he did.
A vote. I know,
Law,
I know.
He doesn't have a vote, though. Even those guys don't like him. So he doesn't have one, but he would vote for Trout. Some people are just going to vote for Trout because he's the best player. You're always going to vote for him. But Mookie Betts, without question, had the best season. And now he has an opportunity, and I know that's a regular season award, but he has an opportunity to, you know, when you look at great Red Sox now, you have to include both because they've had so much success in the postseason. You know, Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz, for example, weren't just good in the regular season. Like, that would have been nice 20, 30 years ago, but it matters how good they were in the playoffs. And you have World Series MVP, the both of them, and the numbers and the clutch hits. That's what Betts and Martinez are trying to accomplish now.
I just, and as the more I look at it, and you're right, there have been injury problems for the Astros. I'll grant you that. And they kind of got hot at the end. I'll grant you all of that. I think the Red Sox have a better offensive lineup than Houston does.
I think it's pretty similar. I think it's a bit of a wash. I think the regular...
And I do think the Red Sox bench is better.
Like Holt and, you know, I mean, their bench...
You've got Holt, you've got Swihart. at the moment, you've got Moreland. I don't know how that's going to shake out
Swihart,
what his situation is.
Yeah, that's
is.
True. Moreland's injury, I don't know. Swihart, they don't even really use, though. Like, they have him, but they, what do you have, one at bat in the last series? They don't even really use
I don't know if you
them.
Heard they have three catchers on the roster.
Yeah, they only use one a game, though. It's like, hey, that's the whole idea is you can mix and match
Isn't
a little
it
bit.
The only mistake we thought that Alex Cora made was not pinch hitting for Leon?
Yeah, Sandy Leon. And even game four, I thought there was an opportunity. Now, it didn't matter because you won the game, but I thought there was an opportunity with runners on to get Vasquez out. And I know he already hit the home run, but you could have gotten some insurance runs. And maybe you wouldn't have been freaking out as much as you were in the ninth inning, as it were, if you pinch hit
Swihart and then put Leon in a catcher.
Or if you don't want to burn both catchers, pinch hit Brock Holt. You know, the day after the cycle, why not put him in there? I believe it was a righty on the mound, too. I forget exactly what the situation was, but I remember thinking, why is Vasquez hitting? I think late in games, whether Leon or Vasquez starts, I think you could lift either one of those guys and be fine because you do have enough guys off the bench. And we'll see if Nunez starts or if Kinsler starts. I think Holt will start tomorrow. Holt, yeah. 3-for-10 lifetime against Verlander, not a huge sample. Ian Kinsler, meanwhile, has had 30-something at-bats and is hitting 158. So I would probably sit Kinsler until the end. And if you have a lead, you know, Kinsler makes sense as a defensive replacement later on.
I mean, I look at the bench for the Houston Astros, and it doesn't scare you.
But you got to give the rotation and the bullpen advantage to Houston. Yeah.
And we'll see if, you know, if you can solve part of that that great rotation starting tomorrow night. Patriots Sunday night play host to the Kansas City Chiefs. Joining us right now from Gillette Stadium is Devin McCourty. Devin is sponsored by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Devin, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing great, Good. Thank you. Is this as tough an offensive task as this defense has been handed this year?
Definitely. Just speed and weapons all over the field, and then with a really good quarterback. So it's really going to come down to each guy kind of doing their job and playing sound football.
Now, last year against the Kansas City Chiefs, it was a tough way to start the season. They have a lot of the same wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, but obviously there's a change in quarterback. What's the difference between Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes?
I would just say Mahomes has a great playmaking ability, but I thought Alex Smith had that too. But he's really trying to look and get the ball down the field really in all situations. So I think that's kind of stuck out. There's times you see guys might be open maybe for a two-yard route, but he'll see a guy that has a step going deep. He's going to launch it and try to make that throw. And, I mean, with his arm talent and strength, he can make all those throws.
Yeah, Coach Belichick was saying that earlier this week, that even if they have the ball on the 20, you essentially have to guard the end zone. Does this guy have the best arm strength maybe that you faced?
Yeah, I think so. There's a play against Atlanta in the preseason, and he's, I think, on the 25. And he launches the ball on their own 25. He launches the ball all the way down to the 5-yard line and hits Tyreek Hill. So you got to be ready to go, I think, everywhere. You know, if they're backed up or something, that doesn't mean they're not going to take a shot and try to get the ball down the field. So we just got to have a high awareness that really every part of the field is going to be open to them.
The cliche is that if you give Bill Belichick and his staff extra time to prepare for an opponent, they always come up with something. In the 10 days between games, do you feel like you guys had extra stuff that you were asked to do this week?
No, I mean, I think our staff always does a good job of preparing and making sure we're ready to go against teams. So, but I think they do a good job where, you know, for us, it's trying to catch up on that, get right, and be ready to go. So, you know, especially coming off a short week where you go Sunday to Thursday, we felt that was big for us as players. But our staff is always in here working, trying to get ahead.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of fast players in the NFL, but is Tyreek Hill on sort of a different level?
Definitely. I mean, if someone knows or seen someone faster, I like to see it. I mean, but you watch the film, it jumps out at you, man. Just whether it's a deep route, whether it's a speed sweep, whenever he gets going, you can instantly see his speed.
What's the biggest concern you have going into the game Sunday night with the Kansas City offense?
I just think we got to be able to tackle well and not give up the big play. We can't give it up all in one chunk. And I think they do a great job of forcing you in open field one-on-one situations. And those are always tough on the defense. But I think we got to go out there and tackle well for us to have a chance to win.
Now, last Thursday night against the Colts, you guys only allowed 3 points in the first half, and it looked like a dominant effort on both sides. But Colts were able to get some momentum offensively going in the second half. What was the difference, you think?
I just think finishing. We got to do a better job in the second half just finishing and then playing for 60 minutes. That's something we talked about this week of trying to put a full four-quarter game together because against this team we're going to need it. So it's going to be a good test for us so far throughout this season of trying to do all the things we talk about each weekend. You know, this week is a week we need to get it done.
What concerns you more about Mahomes, his arm or his legs?
Both. I think, obviously, you know his arm, but I think his ability, you watch kind of the fourth quarter of Denver, up to escape and not even to just run, but just to get out of the pocket, you know, get and get to space where he can throw the ball on the run because he can do that well. And I think that's what hurts you. You can't, you know, he's not a guy that's just going to run and try to scramble, get as many yards as possible. You know, these guys get to open space and try to throw the ball down the field.
How's it been playing with your brother now for 5 weeks? Obviously, the first time you guys have been able to do that since back in college.
Oh, it's been fun, man. I think we're now at the point we don't even think about it. We're just out there playing, and I think that's been the good part. He's been able to catch on, know exactly what we're trying to do, and I think it's working out well for us. We just got to try to keep that going.
Do you think, in all honesty, that Bill Belichick can tell you two apart?
No, not at all.
Because if you're not wearing your uniform, I can't do it. I wondered if he could.
No, I highly doubt it.
Is there anybody on the team who can tell you apart?
Yeah, mostly all the guys can.
Just the coaches can.
Helmets, they can.
Yeah.
But, I don't know about all the coaches, though. That'd be a good test.
Devin, I don't know if you had a chance to catch any of the sit-down Kanye West had with President Trump yesterday. Did you see that, and what did you think?
I only saw a quick clip, so I can't speak too much on the whole thing. I didn't see all of it, but the clip I saw, I'm not surprised. So, but I think Kanye's in his whole other boat and needs help for different issues.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Devin, thanks very much for taking the time. Good luck on Sunday night. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Devin. That is Devin McCourty, who did confirm what I suspected.
Yeah, Belichick has no clue.
And I don't think he does.
He just yelled, McCourty, get out there! I don't know who's who.
I mean, if they're out on the field, obviously he knows their numbers. That's easy. But if they're walking around the facility in T-shirts and shorts...
So what you can't do is you can't talk to one about the other. Because then
you don't know which
wrong.
One you got.
They're like, listen, Jason's been blowing coverages. He's like, I'm Jason. Like, oh, yes.
But, I didn't say that. That's what I've heard other people say.
That's what I meant. But yeah, they have a challenge and a half coming up on Sunday. And they've seen it before, and now it's, you know, a different quarterback, but a lot of the same guys, you know, Tyreek Hill, and it's interesting to hear McCourty say that too. I mean, every week you're going to face a guy that probably runs a 4.4 or 4.5 40, but Tyreek Hill, even just the eye test, like, you can see it. Like, there's certain guys in the league that when they're going straight down the field.
Even Jalen Ramsey thinks he's fast.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Even he's a return specialist.
Yeah,
or whatever
exactly.
He called him. But you can see it. And when you combine a guy that's, you know, lightning quick and fast with someone like Patrick Mahomes, who you might be a safety, you're the deep man. You're like, well, he's not going to throw it over my head. I'm 50 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Like, no, he still can. He can throw it past you from there. I don't know if you saw the video. There was somebody down field level a couple of weeks ago before a Chiefs game. And Patrick Mahomes just like flicked the ball. You couldn't see exactly how far it went. Had to be 80 yards. Well, he was just warming up.
And Devin just said he threw it from the 25, his own 25, to the 5.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean, you can't, if you're, especially Devin McCourty, if you're going to be the back, like the furthest guy back, you're more than returning a punt. Like, he can throw it farther than their punter can boot it. Like, that's you don't have to do that every single week.
See, generally speaking, I think that stuff is exaggerated. You can throw it 100
yards.
Like
Michael Bishop, they were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He might be able to.
I think he could. And it's, like, effortless, too. And he throws gas. Who were we talking to earlier this week? It might have been Curran, or they're saying how hard he can throw. Like, this guy can also throw a baseball 90-plus miles an hour. He can throw a football, like, 60, which is a screamer.
I don't want to catch it.
No, thank you.
Well, you were a college wide receiver.
Even
so.
That, like, no, why don't you soften it up, all right? It's still going to get there. You don't have to break my fingers trying to catch it.
Texter brings up a very, very good point.
Let's see.
How do we know we talked to Devin?
No clue.
Would we know?
No idea. No. Nope.
You know what? They might be switching us off back and forth. I mean, we would not know.
Belichick and Caserio could do that too if they wanted to. They're more voice twins.
They do sound a fair amount alike, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I bet Curran, because he does the weekly interview with both Jason and Devin. If you do it enough, you should be able to tell the difference between the two.
Well, he said the players can.
Yeah.
Guys on the team can. He just doesn't know if the
coaches
can.
Well, half the team went to college with him, so
they've had extra time.
Those guys can figure it out, no problem. Coaches have no idea.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Weekly visit with the playmaker, NFL Hall of Famer and NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin, brought to you by the VA New England Healthcare System, Cape Cod Builders, and your local Anderson Windows dealer. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. I hope you guys are ready.
We're ready.
We'll get into Sunday night in a minute, because I got to ask you about Thursday night football.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the New York Giants, do you have to think about getting Kyle LaLetta ready to play here?
Man, oh, God. I mean, I talked about this last night, and all the comments that Odell Beckham made that I thought was as crazy, as wild as I don't know what. But I believe that's not just the sentiment of Odell Beckham. I believe that someone was coming out of the locker room and everybody seeing so much talent on that team. That kid Barkley, and it's just so much talent on that team, but they do need better play from the quarterback position. I just don't know what they do with it now. I won't go so far as say, well, did they miss out by not getting Sam Darnold? Because Barkley is a once-in-a-generational type player. You got him. That was a great pickup. You're trying to bring a short pass game. You're trying to make Eli play like Tom Brady, and he just doesn't have that in him. Because when you're playing a short passing game like that, got to be very accurate with the ball to put the ball on the right shoulder so the receiver can run with it after the catch, and that's something Eli's lacking right now.
What do you make of Odell Beckham, though? You mentioned sort of the comments, but also on the field. I mean, as talented a player as there is, but the guy seems very frustrated at what's going on right now. What can he do?
Yeah, and I understand his frustration. You know, I was telling somebody about this the other day, you know, because we were talking about guys coming out. You know, Odell came out. You know, Alan Hearns come out. I said, you gotta understand, you know, because there's a lot of old heads like me that are on TV. I said, it's different now. When we play, you have to wake up on Monday after the game and read the paper to see what they say. Or you can catch one of the news stations and you can catch it for 5 or 6 minutes, you know, and they may bring up your story and how bad things are going for you. But today's world, these people, these players, are inundated. Not every hour, not every 10 minutes, but every second through social media, with everybody talking about what's wrong with you. You're a bum. Get out of here. Get back to money. All of that stuff is going on, and I think we're getting people that just they get tired of it, and we're getting guys talking, man. But Odell's too talented. As I watched him last night, I said, okay, enough's enough now. Just play football. There's nothing you can do. That's the quarterback's job. I understand you're frustrated, but let's just play football, buddy. He's too talented.
Since Odell Beckham and some of his teammates climbed on that boat in Miami, the Giants have gone 4-19. Any relationship?
Right. No relationship with that. Just a relationship with an offensive line. They can't give Eli time. And then when he does get time, they can't make the play. That's the relationship that have gone with 4-19. When we talk about stuff like that, they say, well, is Odell Beckham a distraction? That's exactly what I said. A distraction from what? A distraction from losing? That's all they've been doing around here quite a while. They only have lost games. You need a distraction from losing, and it's called winning, and that's what they need to do.
Now, last year, Eli Manning was benched, and all of a sudden there was an outroar, and everybody was all upset about it, and Geno Smith got a start, and then Eli Manning went back in. If they were to make a change this year, could they keep him on the roster? Like, is there a scenario where Eli Manning's the backup, or they just have to get rid of him altogether?
I really do believe they have to ride it out this year. They have to ride it out. Yeah, and I don't know to what that means. You know, if you're sitting here 1-9, 1-8, what does that mean, riding it out? But I know you just gave Odell $90 million. Saquon certainly is part of your future. You're going to have to go in and find your quarterback. This is what I thought. I thought Sherman kind of let one get away here, and I guess maybe he was afraid of because of what you just mentioned about the coach getting released by benching Eli. But I don't know why Sherman didn't go make a play for Teddy Bridgewater, who knew his offense when he was right across the way with the Jets, and let Teddy back up Eli. Now, you know, I understand right now if Teddy was backing up Eli, they would have been calling for Teddy to be on the football field. But they should have done that at least for their future. And to have Teddy next year, you know, even if you want to go in the draft and find a quarterback, but to have Teddy next year to pair him with Eli and Saquon and then try to work on finding an offensive line, maybe you had a team.
We're talking to NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Sunday night, the 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs come to town. Now, the Chiefs have had a habit the last few years of getting out of the blocks very fast and then stumbling after that. Why should we believe this year would be different for them?
That's a great question. That's a great question. But I think because of the kid back at quarterback, you know, the last couple of years, especially with Alex Smith, you know, things get tight. Once you lose one game, people start saying, oh, okay, here we go. Then you lose two games. And you start stumbling, things get real tight, and people start playing tight. This kid has a different mentality. He has a different mentality, and he's going to sling the ball all over the field. And I think that brings about something different permeating their locker room. So I'm believing that they'll keep it running this year because of that fresh new talent that has no fear on a football field.
What do you think of Josh Gordon's fit so far? It's been two games with the Pats.
Well, I was there that last Thursday, made that play down. That coming across that field, Tom just said, okay, I'm going to throw this. I trust you, ball. It's a weird thing to look at. It really is a weird thing to be right there and witness. With Tom Brady throwing an I trust you ball, I'm just letting this thing go. Because he just let that one go. That I was like, who's he throwing that to? And then out of nowhere, here comes Josh Gordon, looking like Flash Gordon, snatching the ball right off somebody else. Oh, my God. And I told people this, and I'm telling you guys this now. Everybody keeps talking about, well, can he give you what Randy Moss gave? I say yes, but he can give you more. Because I saw this kid runs a slant route. He caught a slant route in his hands, people, in his hands. I catch slant routes in my body because I know the pain that I'm about to meet. And when I meet the pain of that linebacker or one of those safeties hitting me, the ball may jump up in the air and be an interception. So I came up with catching it in my body. And then when I watched film and I saw that kid snatch that slant down with his hands and a couple plays before that, Cordell Patterson ran a slant on the other side and it looked like he was saying, no, mama, please, mama, don't throw that to me. Please, mama, don't throw it to me. You know what I'm saying? That's what he was looking like. I was like, oh, this kid gives Tom something different. That kind of play where you can go slant routes, up top, everything. You know, guys, as much as I love Randy and he'll moss you, Randy didn't really want to run across that middle. He didn't really want to go across that middle. That middle was not his friend. The middle is Josh Gordon's friend. And I love what they're doing with him right now. And everybody always talks about what's different. What's different in New England? Let me tell you what's different with an addict. And I know a little something about this. That's why they said one day at a time, one day at a time. And what you have to do is get up each day and have something in front of you, something in your destiny better than your history, and something that pulls you each day towards your destiny and away from that stronghold in your history. And right now, Josh has hope of playing in the playoffs, and he has hope of playing in a Super Bowl, and we all should hope and pray that it keeps pulling him towards his destiny and away from his history.
There is some weird stuff going on at the quarterback position in the NFL. There are like five guys whose completion percentage is above 70%. Heck, Drew Brees is almost 80%. Tom Brady's like 13th in the league in quarterback rating right now. Has the NFL just made it too easy to play the damn position?
Right. And you know what? I thought you were going to say play offense. And then I was saying, not really. They made it somewhat, but not really. But you narrowed the gate and you placed it right on the bullseye. They made it easy to play that position of quarterback. They give him all the money now. You're going to make $30, $40 million a year. And then we might as well give you some flags. Now, when you're playing quarterback and you no longer have to worry about that blind side hit that comes and knocks you down with somebody landing on you and everything, when you no longer have to worry about that, all of a sudden you can stand up in the pocket and throw the ball. I tell people courage does not say that I did not have fear. Courage says I overcame my fears. And what you're watching now are quarterbacks who doesn't even have to show courage and overcome a fear. They can just tell you I did not have fear because nobody's going to hit me. It's illegal, and it's amazing. That's exactly what you're seeing.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that Travis Kelce's the best tight end in football, and this weekend – what, you sticking with that? Because it's turned into a pretty good debate. There are plenty of people on the Travis Kelce side. Obviously, here, there's a lot of people on the Gronk side. But you're sticking with Kelce?
Well, right now. And I remember now, I put it up because of all the people around him. Now, are you talking about just the physical skill set?
Yeah, who's the better tight end, you think?
If you pull out and say a physical skill set, I can, you know – Gronk's a whole different beast, man. His size, the way he moves, you know, his ability, he's a whole different beast, physical skill set. But when you place them right now where they are and where they were when I said that a couple of weeks ago, in the system they're playing or with the people around them they're playing, then, yeah, you have to lift Travis Kelce up over him. And it's so funny because after we had that conversation, and, you know, you watch everything. I watch everything trying to grab knowledge about the game. I heard a lot of people started having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of all around the national. I'm watching other shows. They're having the conversation. I was like, wow, that's a little firestorm right there. We just started on EDI over here.
That's right.
That's good stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
Michael, we always appreciate the time. You have yourself a good weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, man, it's the big one, man. It's the big one.
Who do you got, Michael? Who do you got on Sunday? Who do you think?
Here's Stanford. Oh, mama, here comes the big one. Here's
Michael, who you got? One. Who you got? Who's winning?
I'm taking New England.
All right.
I'm telling you right now. I'm taking New England. I gave them Mad Scientist 10 days, and you've given him a few more weapons than Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman. And I heard Bill talking about, this kind of surprised me, man. I'm surprised when he talks about the kid, he was like, this kid can throw the ball 100 yards. If you're on the 20, you got a guard 80 yards. I said, what is he talking about? I never heard him talk like this. I never heard him. I said, okay. As soon as he started talking like that, I said, oh, yeah, I'm taking New England. He never talks like that. What is he talking about? So he must know something. He must know something, and I'm anxious to see what he knows.
Michael, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
That is NFL Hall of Famer Michael Irvin joining us, as he does every Friday. Fun to talk football with him. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Coming up at noon 30 today, Keefe's got his week in review.
Oh, it's a good one. Good week. Good week on the station.
Week
yes.
in review.
Back to Dale.
It is a perfect, gigantic bucket of suck.
And Keefe.
Have a little respect for yourself.
WEEI on WEEI.
A deep pass to Tyreek and score a touchdown. So just picking and choosing when to utilize the underneath stuff and when to utilize the deep ball.
Oh, he's got a unique voice, right?
Get your cares away. Worries for another day. Let the music play. Found a crack
of rock. I've heard it since I was in like seventh grade. So, but it's something that I've kind of embraced. And the guys, Kelce, Tyreek, and those guys throw some shots at me, but don't worry, I throw shots back.
Oh, how did he pull that off? He got it to Hill, and they've got a first down.
About Montana magic in Kansas City. Look at this guy, Von Miller on his heels. He throws it left-handed.
The thing that makes as this season goes on is you have to kind of pick and choose when to throw that deep ball.
Down at Fraggle Rock.
Takes a lot to get Jason Rossi off the wrestling theme kick on Falls.
But that's worth it.
Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
That's
but
right.
Then he comes back with this out of Fraggle Rock.
One of the great Fraggles out there, Patrick Mahomes.
Well, we had a request for this. This is JYD.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Works out perfectly.
We take some requests if they're good.
So I'm trying to figure out what's going to be a harder sell, to talk myself into the Red Sox beating the Houston Astros in the ALCS, and I'm close to that.
Yes.
Or trying to talk myself into the Patriots beating Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I've got a great number for you.
Ooh.
Patriots are 3.5-point favorites, right?
Yes, they are.
Chiefs are 5-0. Pats are 3-2. So it's a bit surprising. This Sunday is the 56th consecutive game, counting playoffs, that Tom Brady, as quarterback of the Patriots, is favored. That is the all-time record, according to ESPN.
Wow.
It breaks the record of Kurt Warner, whose Rams were favored in 55 consecutive games that he quarterbacked in from 99 to 2003. Before Warner, the record belonged to Steve Young, whose 49ers were favored in 44 straight games. And before that, Joe Montana, whose 49ers were favored in 37 consecutive games.
Jeez.
Yeah. Tom Brady at quarterback for the Patriots is now favored in 56 consecutive games.
But if this game was in Kansas City, wouldn't the Chiefs have been favored? Probably a slight favorite, but either way, the game's at home, so it doesn't really matter. And so I think they probably should be the favorite. I mean, especially if you're trying to get money in on it. And if the Patriots were home underdogs, I mean, that would be kind of surprising.
All right, so play the game here. Patriots lose to the Chiefs, let's say.
All right.
And the Bears blow out the Dolphins.
Very, very possible.
I would guess the Bears would be favored over the Patriots.
The game's in Chicago.
Yep.
I still don't think they would be. Okay.
In the scenario where the Patriots lose
out,
to the Chiefs.
Oh, well, if they get blown out by
Bears
the Chiefs,
blow out the Dolphins.
Yeah, maybe they would be, I guess.
I would guess then that Mitch Trubisky would break the Tom Brady record.
Oh, my God. Yeah, maybe he would. Well, Khalil Mack really would be the one breaking the record.
I know.
More so than
Mitch Trubisky.
But he had a really nice week last week, did Trubisky. But yeah, they're both. The Astros are favorite in the series, I believe. It's close. I think it opened up as like a pick'em series, and I think it might have slid a little bit to the Astros, even though they don't have home field. Not as important in baseball as it is in football. So I get that. But the Patriots are favored. So I think the Patriots, according to Vegas and even myself, the Patriots are more likely to beat the Chiefs in one game on Sunday than the Red Sox are to beat the Astros in a 7-game series. Right? I mean, one's the favorite, one's the underdog.
Yeah.
Now, they're pretty evenly matched. They're both very exciting. These are great matchups. Maybe the two best teams in the AFC, and without question, the two best teams in all of baseball. So they're great matchups either way.
So if you only could talk yourself into one. See, I'm going to talk myself into both.
Oh, positive. Dale, big time. You started the week negative, Dale.
Glass is half full Dale today.
So glad. Boy, overflowing Dale right now.
I'm going to talk myself into
both.
Into both?
You're going to have to convince me later on the Red Sox. Because you don't need to convince me too much on the Patriots. I think at home, I think they can definitely beat the Chiefs. It's been a struggle the last couple times against Kansas City.
Michael Irvin loves the Patriots against the Chiefs.
Yes, he does.
Now, I wonder if he does one of these weekly hits in Kansas City, if
maybe
he loves the Chiefs.
Maybe he does.
I don't know that.
No, who's to say? But I think, again, they've had struggles recently, 2014 and last season's season opener. They really struggled against Kansas City. But, yeah, I think they're playing really well right now. You know, they've scored 38 points as an offense each of the last 2 weeks. They're facing a defense that's even worse than Indy's, even worse than Miami's. It's a bad Kansas City team. Now, I think they're going to give up a lot of points. I really like Mahomes, all the guys that he can throw to. That's a really good offense.
Oh, by the way, the Kansas City defense stinks.
That's awful.
They can't tackle. I mean, this will be a shootout. You said the over-under was 59.5.
Yeah.
And I would take the over.
I'm hitting the over. I'll give you that one for free. Take the over on that one.
I could see like a 42-30 type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. This could be, you could have the over at the start of the fourth quarter. Like I don't see either defense. It would be surprising if either defense showed up and held a team under 27. I don't see that coming.
Now, we said that before the pitching matchups were announced, it was dead even.
Yeah.
No, but at the time, when it first came out, pitching matchups hadn't been announced. It was dead even.
Yeah.
Each team was minus 115. Once Alex Cora announced the pitching matchups and had David Price pitching game two,
they're like, what?
All of a sudden, the Astros were a slight favorite.
It's still really close. The Astros are minus 145. The Red Sox are plus 115. So it's not an overwhelming difference by any means. But the Houston Astros are the favorite to win the series. I think they should be. They're the defending champs. They have a great postseason pitcher leading the way in Verlander. They have the better bullpen. The lineups are very similar. I also thought the lineups were pretty similar against the Yankees, and it was the Red Sox that showed up, especially with that Game 3 performance.
I'm going to talk myself into both before the day is out.
I
know. 617-779-7937. Johnny's in Nashua. Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
Hey, good, man. You guys are really fortunate to have Michael Irvin.
Oh, we know.
Man, is he profound or what? You know,
he's great.
Pulling him towards his destiny and away from his history. Yeah, I had to step back and just say, wow.
Yeah.
It's like... You know, I mean...
Well, especially when he was talking about Josh Gordon.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, the Josh Gordon stuff
was... Yeah,
it was
good. Really good stuff.
Yeah. And you could use that to apply to Beckham, too.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, it's true.
But I just wanted to get that plug in for Irvin, because I've been listening to him on your show for a while now, and he never fails to hit the nail. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Right, yeah. No, I we love talking to him, and he's right. You know, Josh Gordon... You know, all I asked was, you know, how do you think he's fit in for 2 weeks? And then he goes on this whole thing about, you know, how it could work going forward. Now, when he said he could be better than Randy Moss, even I almost passed out when I heard that.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how you could be better than Randy Moss. But it is a really good point about Michael Irvin, a Hall of Fame receiver, even admitted on those slant passes, he would often catch it with his body. First of all, the ball is coming at you 100 miles an hour, and then you have a safety or a linebacker or a corner waiting there to hit you, so you're trying to get in a safe position.
Whereas, a defensive position.
Yeah, Josh Gordon, meanwhile, he's so strong and has such good hands that he can just stick his hands out there, and that way there's going to be more completions that way, because if you allow the ball to get into your chest, you know, a corner can knock it out, or there's just way more room for error. But if you're strong enough to just pluck it out, which Josh Gordon has already done in the first couple of games, Brady's going to love that. Well, he's going to be more and more confident throwing to him.
How about Irvin talking about how Cordarrell Patterson, please don't throw it to
me. Yeah, but it's true.
Like, don't throw it to
he's
me.
He's like, I don't want you to hand it to me on an end around or I'll return a kick. Like, that's his skill set.
Which, by the way, you probably get hit harder.
What, on a kick return?
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least you can brace for impact. Like, when you're running a slant, you're not looking at the defensive player who's about to take your head off. And to his point, Randy Moss wasn't wild about going over the middle. Now, he was so good at everything else, they didn't have to do that. But Josh Gordon, I mean, that's just another layer that they can have, where if they need 5 yards on third down, they run a quick slant. Hard to break up a pass when you're Josh Gordon and you just stick your huge arms and hands out and just pluck it out of the sky.
Ryan Hannibal, by the way, writing on WEEI.com, talks about the injuries that have been kind of catching up to the Kansas City Chiefs. Eric Berry hasn't played in a game this season.
And he's awesome.
His backup, Eric Murray, hasn't practiced this week. It is so bad that they're using a wide receiver taking practice reps at safety this week. Marcus Kemp has been taking reps at safety as an emergency Sunday night because they're not sure if they've got enough bodies to play the position.
So now you're a wide receiver playing safety against Rob Gronkowski and the Patriots.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, that just sort of speaks to what kind of trouble they could be in. Yeah, Eric Berry is one of the best safeties in the league, but he's out with this heel injury. Justin Houston, great linebacker. He's been out. He's got a hamstring injury. So the defense isn't great anyway. And then when you take out their two best players, it's even worse. I mean, the Patriots, I would say you could feel pretty good about them hitting that 38 number for the third straight week.
I like the Patriots offensively a lot. Now, the only question is, can they slow up Mahomes enough?
No.
He slowed himself up the last couple of weeks.
They can slow him up enough to win, but I don't think they're going to shut him. Cover Gronk. Who's going to cover Edelman? Who's going to cover James White? Same thing. I mean, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. I mean, even Sammy Watkins as a second receiver. Like, they have plenty of guys that can score. And Mahomes can beat him with his feet a little bit too. I mean, he can throw the ball 80 yards, but he can run a little bit. You got to keep him contained. And we've seen in the past some quarterbacks, you know, some of the mobile guys have had success against Belichick defenses. So I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps that going. He's had rushing touchdowns in each of the last 2 weeks.
I think they're going to be able to hold him down enough to let Brady outscore them.
Are you concerned at all about Sonny Michel being
banged
up?
Yeah. Yes.
Because that would be a nice element to be able to continue. He's been on a nice little roll.
I think that was going to be their biggest advantage on Sunday night was the running attack against the Chiefs.
Now, the good news is he was listed as a limited participant yesterday because we were kicking it around. One of the reports was the media portion, he was just on a bike. He wasn't even with the team going through the walkthrough. But he was. They said they listed him as limited. The only guy who missed practice yesterday was Chris Hogan. And let's be honest, that's not going to really matter, I don't think, as far as the offense is concerned. If he's in, great.
Know.
If he's out, oh, really? I don't I think
that with
he's very
especially now with Edelman and Gronk and Gordon, I think Hogan's going to be the guy who's going to end up open a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if there's really a lot of room for him. I mean, you just mentioned Gordon, hopefully, to me, plays more than 18 plays. I think it's been 18 each of the first two games he's been active.
Yeah, and I think he will play more.
I hope
Edelman
more,
went on and on yesterday about how much he's picking up on things.
And more time, too. Like
he knows his stuff, said Edelman yesterday.
Oh, good. So with Gordon, Edelman, Gronk, James White, that's already four skill guys. So you only have room for one more. And Philip Dorsett has been solid. So, I mean, Philip Dorsett's out there. So, yeah, Chris Hogan, fine. He can beat you with a deep touchdown every once in a while, but not the end of the world if he's not out there. So and they can plug in somebody else. Maybe you go two backs, assuming Sony Michel is healthy enough. So I think they'll be just fine. They'll still score a zillion points.
If Belichick, if the Patriots win the toss, I think he takes the ball. Put them on their heels right off the bat.
Yeah, he's done that a couple of times this year. Yeah,
I think he takes the ball. He gives Brady the chance to try to move down the field, get on top early. That's the other key here is if they can get on top, and you make Mahomes more one-dimensional, this is pretty self-evident, everybody.
Yeah, sure.
It gives you a much better chance.
No, it definitely does. And this is a nice test for him. Now, this isn't as good of a defense as the Jacksonville Jaguars, which he just faced. But in New England, prime time, you know, even though they don't have the same record as you, everybody kind of looks at them as the best team in the AFC. They have been for almost two decades. So how do the Chiefs fare here? I still think for them there's a bit of that similar to David Price. Why is it different this year? What are you going to be able to do in the playoffs? Now, the one thing they have going for them is they have a new quarterback. Like, that's pretty significant. Like, it's the same head coach, good old Andy Reid. It's a lot of the same skill guys.
Eric Bieniemy still calling the plays.
Yeah, right. And it's, you know, Kelsey, and it's Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt. So we've seen those guys before. But Patrick Mahomes is different. But, you know, as we even spoke with Devin McCourty last hour, Alex Smith looked pretty good. Like, it's easy to say Mahomes is
better
than Smith.
But it was also the first game of the year, and you know how poor the Patriots generally start the season.
But he ended up, I was kind of surprised, he ended up having a pretty good season. Alex Smith's QB rating was right at the top, I believe, at the end of last year. And even they knew it was time for a change. They were like, all right, yeah, like that was great, good season, but this guy's even better. So maybe he's the difference. Maybe it won't just be the same old regular season Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. But this game on Sunday, I mean, that's a pretty big statement game that they could make week six.
I mean, the Chiefs are in a position where if they could continue the role that they started out on, you know, they can put a huge stranglehold on home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the AFC.
Oh, they without question. And how important would that be for them? Now, I think they lost a home playoff game. I forget which year it was, but that's supposed to be one of the best home field advantages, right? It's one of the loudest stadiums. Like, if you don't have to go to New England or if you don't have to go to Jacksonville, like wherever it is. But yeah, the only team, so they're 5-0. Cincinnati is 4-1, kind of shockingly. Yeah, kind of under the radar, 4-1.
That was my team. That was my pick before
the Bengals
season.
Were? Oh, look at
yeah,
you.
Remember?
How about that?
I did have them,
and every week I look, I go, oh, maybe Dale was onto something.
How about that? I mean, I had the Kansas City Chiefs, but
they will fold, by the way.
Oh, of course.
I mean,
talk about another regular season team.
Yeah, they'll be a regular season juggernaut and then fold in the playoffs.
But everybody else has at least two losses. Like, everybody in the South, everybody in the East, like, everybody has two losses. So, yeah, the Chiefs, if they get to 6-0, I mean, they're starting to really put themselves in a position to be home field throughout.
I didn't hear it myself, but according to a texter, Steve Young last night had this great number. Bill Belichick is 23-0 against quarterbacks under the age of 25 at Foxborough.
So that's a good stat. It is. It's a great stat. But you also, not all quarterbacks under 25 are the same. And Patrick Mahomes,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, I know you know that too, but I'm just saying, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a number one pick. He also is not a rookie. Like, he was able to be with the team all of last year. I think he started week 16. And so he's a little bit different than I'm sure some of the cast of characters that are on that list, you know, some of the guys like J.P. Lossman is probably on that list, or Bryce Petty, or some of the trash that the division has churned out over the years.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Noon 30 coming up bottom of the hour.
At noon 30.
At noon 30 is our Kiefer Madness Week in Review. I'm trying to figure out the sudden infatuation with a former Patriot who's now dead.
What?
But there's a big infatuation with it.
What?
It's coming up next. Earth? Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.